Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Hey, welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. We are continuing a conversation that we started last week about Google Plus. We are actually continuing the conversation that has continued on social media about Google Plus. And Jay is with me as always. And we have a special guest with us, Dustin Stout, who we referenced in the last post. We talked a lot about our feeling about Google Plus. Dustin has some facts about Google Plus that we want to talk about and really dig into. Is there an opportunity? Because Jay and I don't see it. Jay, I'll let you speak first, and then Dustin, we're eager to get your thoughts and perspective on the conversation.
Sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's hard, and I'm really excited because definitely, and Dustin has some great resources on his site about how to craft a great, you know, Google Plus post and a lot more information, and we're going to get fact-checked real quick here. I'm seeing like the Fox News fact check screen coming up right now. It's going to be just scrolling on us. But essentially, you know, I think what we were talking about, Niels, was, you know, we're thinking about, you know, the church leader that's, you know, either has a church of 100 to 500 or maybe a little bit more, and looking at using their time and their resources wisely. And there might not be, for us, there might not be this natural need to have this robust experience. I think we were agreeing that there needs to be some kind of presence on there, but you know, there's just not a crowd. And as we were talking about this, we started getting into this Twitter conversation, and Dustin got engaged, and we got in, and it was almost like, I was like overwhelmed. I did not realize I was stirring the hornet's nest here, that there was a community. And so I know there's a lot of information out this, and I think some of it came out, you know, Google's always changing things. And I think Dustin and I were tweeting, like, actually it was Josh Smith, Niels, from Church Mag, also was sharing some stuff about
Jeremy Smith.
There it is. Jeremy mm-hmm. Smith. And, was sharing a different information. I know there was a TechCrunch article about it, how like
there
they
always
kinda,
is.
Yeah, there always is. There's some origin there. It's dead. And then Forbes wrote about it, and there's all this stuff. And so anyways, they were all alluding to maybe they're going away from social, and maybe it will become just a default platform that has resources. Now, it's all rumors. That's what it feels like. It's all rumors. So, Dustin, that's what we were talking about. Where in the world are we going wrong?
Well, here's the issue. This is a typical cycle of what happens, and it's been happening since 2011. So, a little bit of background about Google itself. They've failed miserably at social media several times before launching Google Plus. So with that in mind, people expected Google to fail again. So there was always this sort of stigma about Google and social, and the fact that they've tried it so many times and they failed every time, that when it first came out, everybody just compared it to Facebook. They said, oh, it's another Facebook. We don't need another Facebook. Twitter was really hot at the time. So there was sort of this stigma that it came with, and a lot of people opposed it without even understanding it at first. And this cycle is very typical. As someone who was very enthusiastic about the platform out of the gate, because I understood what they were doing in the long term, you know, unifying all of Google's products, you know, one login across all the products, integrating YouTube, allowing for video conferencing, you know, all this stuff. It, most importantly, the search aspect, where, you know, Google is the king of search. Mm-hmm. If you want to get discovered online, you got to pay homage to Google. Yeah. So I understood that. And I understood the power of Twitter was in its search and discoverability and meeting new people, not necessarily the people that I know in real life and, you know, went to high school with that never really wanted to talk to again, but somehow have to because now they're on Facebook. Another story. So I saw it as a discovery platform and a chance to experience something new. And I'm like any tech guy out there, any social media junkie, shiny new things excite me. And what I found in Google Plus was just a place where I can fully express a whole lot of different mediums. So all that to say, Google had a stigma. And these articles, I just wrote about it on my blog, how they happen every 6 months or so. And they've been happening for the last 3 or 4 years. In my post, the 5 things never to do on Google Plus, one of them is to talk badly about Google Plus. And here's the cycle. I've outlined it. A Google employee gets interviewed. He fails to mention Google Plus or mentions Google Plus in a way that's easily taken out of context. A sensationalist journalist looking for page views sees an opportunity. He exploits the content, produces a doom and gloom article, a wildly inaccurate depiction, and then he publishes it. And then all his journalist friends who get paid for page views, they pick up the same exact content, the same exact article, no news sources, no real facts, just hearsay. And as the church, we're used to that kind of stuff, aren't we? People saying bad things about Christianity or bad things about a certain church, or, oh no, there's another pastor controversy, when they really don't know the whole story. And, you know, as a Christian, someone who's used to defending against, you know, bad information or misinformation or, you know, or just downright false claims. And being that I'm a well-known person in the Google Plus arena, I tend to get a lot of flack when these articles come out. And in fact, for about 6 to 8 months, I was actually working for a marketing company. Our marketing company specifically worked with brands on getting their Google Plus presence in order and you know, accelerating them on Google Plus. And so when your company is based on Google Plus specifically, and one of these articles comes out, your clients are coming to you immediately saying, what do you think about this? We hear about this. What are we paying you for? You know, and you're losing your clients over stuff like this that's wildly inaccurate. So here's the facts. Despite every journalist and their mother writing about the death of Google Plus, we know without a shadow of a doubt it's not going anywhere. The recent article was about an interview with one of the vice presidents, I think, of Google, where he mentioned in his interview, he mentioned Google Plus and how it's two of its features, specifically photos and Hangouts, are becoming sort of standalone products. Now, where that's misquoted is, and then he referred to Google Plus as a separate team called Streams.
Gotcha. And just to interrupt, I shared an article that somebody pretty much was pretty clear about getting paid views. Like, it was very aggressive, was assuming a lot. And I think that's where this conversation started, was I shared something. This was a while back, right after the VP or whoever was interviewed. And then I remember this conversation rolling. This is how we got kind of introduced to each other, was like, hey, that guy is just kind of stirring the hornet's nest. So anyways, just to kind of
mystery.
So no, totally. I was tempted by the article. It was.
Well, it because how are you able to sort through this stuff when you don't know the real facts, or when Google itself, admittedly, they're terrible at addressing these rumors. I mean, they're just bad. And I know Google employees, and I've talked to them about it. And, you know, I don't know what it is. They just have not publicly addressed some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can say that internally, Google Plus, I'm sure, you know, working in a church, you have your names internally for different ministries. Mm-hmm. You know, when I worked back at my old church, our code name for baby dedications was Babe Deads. You know,
oh my,
say that.
That's great. Yeah.
But you know, that's what you call it internally. And that's what they refer to Google Plus internally, because it's so tied in to all of Google. They needed an internal name for it, just, you know, for purposes. Now, the fact that they're offering Hangouts and Photos as individual apps was not because they're taking it out of Google Plus, not because they're removing it. It's because people are showing that they really want to use those features because they're better than a lot of the other options out there, Photos in particular. And a lot of people don't want to have a Google Plus account just to use Photos. A good friend of mine used an analogy, like his mom. His mom, you know, really needs something where she can better manage her photos and for her photo albums. And since Picasa is kind of, you know, gone, Google Plus is much better at doing what she needs to do, but she doesn't want to have to log into Google Plus and like go through all that. So that came out of a need to create a standalone version, so it didn't have to be tied to Google Plus. Same thing with Hangouts. It's for me and all the people that I work with, our organization, We use Hangouts explicitly for all communications. Like, we don't do text messages. We don't do go-to meetings. We don't do any. Everything's done through Hangouts. So that's just kind of dispelling that myth. And there's been so many myths. I mean, it's literally happened every 6 months, and nobody knows the real facts. And the last big one before this was somebody did their own study, their own third-party investigation, and said that there's only about 6 million active users on Google Plus. And they even said, you know, how they did the study, how they did the research, and it was very technical. And then they ended up excluding a bunch of things like YouTube comments, which if you comment on YouTube, you have the ability to post it to Google Plus if you want. It's not a requirement. It's a little box you check, and it can be shared to Google Plus. So he killed those. He didn't count those, and he didn't count, you know, another thing, and he didn't count another thing, and he didn't count this. And it was only public posts that were shared publicly. And it was only a matter of 2 weeks that he gathered this data, where the standard for gathering data and, you know, comparing active users is the term is monthly active users. So Facebook boasts something like close to 2 billion, maybe 1.5 billion monthly active users. So it was a bad comparison. And then of course all the news sites picked up on it.
Yeah.
Boom, Google Plus is dying. When, of course, we know that's not the case. Back in October 2013 was the last time they publicly stated their numbers. And at that time, the publicly stated active user base of Google Plus was 300 million people in the stream alone. So just using the Google Plus stream. Then they further said that across Google products, the number of active Google Plus users is 540 million.
Interesting.
That was 2013.
Wow.
And there's no confirmation yet of their growth since then. I'm hoping, you know, at the next Google I/O, maybe we'll get something.
Yeah.
But that's what we do know. And, you know, a lot of the people, you know, you guys included, you rightfully speak from your own experience. And that's fine. But my problem is state it as such. The problem with these journalists, and forgive me if I'm ranting too much. Just stop.
No. You're getting going.
No, but you know they speak from experience. They say, look, Google Plus is not working. It's dead. Why do I know that? Because I tried it for a day and a half. I didn't get any plus ones, comments, or anything, and I haven't been active there in 2 years. And that's what I see.
Yeah.
But they state it as fact. They say, I haven't done well. I haven't succeeded. I failed at getting some engagement on Google Plus. Therefore, Google Plus is a failure. What? Really? Really? So you're going to take advice from somebody who sucks at something and take that as gospel truth. Where does that make sense? where does that ever make sense?
There's a guy from, I think Post Planner who works there. Ask Aaron Lee that wrote that pretty much. And that was his comments was like, hey, I log into my Facebook and Twitter stream and it changed every second versus, you know, my stream of Google Plus never changes. And there is something to say about that because that means just your group of friends aren't using it. And it is true.
That's the other argument. I can go on Facebook right now and you can look at my Facebook. It's public. I can get maybe a like, maybe a comment once a month. On my posts that I share on Facebook, I could easily say Facebook's a ghost town. It's a total ghost town. I can go on Twitter as a new user, and I don't know anyone in real life. None of my family and friends use Twitter. Nobody. Not a single one of them use Twitter. So I could easily say nobody knows on Twitter. So it's obviously Twitter is failing and it's dead. It's a ghost town. So, you know, perspective is one thing. But always state it as perspective, not as this is gospel truth.
Yeah.
So as we talk about facts, and I love the numbers and the perspective, and I really want to dig into some more of the perceptions and the reality from a ministry
plenty of numbers here.
Perspective. I have no doubt, and those that are watching on video can see your wholehearted commitment to Google Plus with the tattoo you have on your wall behind.
Yeah.
But One of the stats that I've heard, or one of the arguments against Google Plus that I've heard, is a lot of people have said this is the second largest, third largest, whatever it is, social network out there, and that those numbers are really not accurate because they're including Gmail users as Google Plus, that they're essentially making you have a Google Plus account to use Gmail. Is that true, or what?
No.
Help explain that.
No, that's completely false, actually. If you go to sign up for Gmail today, you are not forced to be a Google Plus user. There is an emphasis in allowing through the process to allow yourself to sign up for a Google Plus account. Even with YouTube, same thing. A lot of people say, oh, they're just counting YouTube numbers. No, they're not. There's way more active users on YouTube than there are on Google Plus. It's not even close. Well, so far as we know. So those numbers would be way more inflated. And then the other argument is anytime you activate an Android device, you automatically get a Google Plus account. No, you don't. That's not true. Go activate a new Android device right now and you prove it. Not true.
Yeah, so I'm going to stick with this. Thanks.
Yeah, me too.
Are you an iPhone user?
Absolutely. Mac everything. I would have not
guessed that.
Oh, of course. I'm a very unique Google Plus user.
You seem conflicted in your soul. I am.
I very much am. No, but I'm a designer, so I have to use
that. Gotcha. Gotcha. That's good. And I know we could talk a lot about this, and I do want to pause real quick to highlight our sponsor for this episode, Creative Church Staffing. Creative Church Staffing provides large church communication resources to large, to small and medium churches. So go to creativechurchstaffing.com to learn more about that. But Dustin, with the last couple minutes, and just to kind of highlight, if you don't know Dustin, I'm surprised you don't, but you can go to Dustin TV. It's DUSTN.TV. You can read that there's some great stuff on how to be active and creative on Google Plus. Just talk real quick in the last couple minutes that we have, you know, if you're talking and you've been on staff at a church, you know, you go to church, you know, the dynamic of a person who is part of a church, who leads a church. What are some just basic things that you would tell a pastor or somebody who's controlling the social presence that they need to be thinking about with Google Plus with our remaining minutes?
Well, the first thing I usually have to dispel all the rumors, right? I have to spend like 5 minutes dispelling, you know, nobody's on there. I don't know anybody who's on there. You know, I usually have to go through my fact list and use myself as an example. You know, I usually go, okay, well, in the last month, since nobody's on there, I've gained 925 followers. I've had 11,031 people engage on my posts in the last 31 days. I can measure this.
And you didn't buy that off Fiverr?
Didn't buy that off Fiverr. These are real people interacting. Yeah. I've had 681,000 views. Now, here's the other thing. Views. Understanding how many people have viewed your content is on Google Plus. Now, with a church, churches are local presences. So most businesses and companies understand that they need to have a Google local presence. Well, that's now been tied into Google Plus. Google Plus page now is if you have a Google local page, it is now a Google Plus page as well, where you can update it. You can update your information. Google can identify you to your potential local people. So when somebody goes to Google search and types in, you know, church in Santa Clarita. If you have a Google Plus local page, you're much more likely to show up in search results. And additionally,
what you're saying is that Google is forcing people to use Google Plus. That's what I'm hearing.
Niels, that was unfair.
Just trying to stir a little bit.
Sure. Well, yeah, it's forcing businesses to identify themselves better with their customers. And the way they do that is allowing them, and it's the same exact Google local as before. It's just got more features.
Yeah.
It's awesome, by the way. We use it at CBC.
Yeah. It's great. And the thing that you know, a lot of churches don't understand is SEO and the search engine value. Your activity that you do on Google Plus is calculated and indexed by Google. On top of that, you know, there's a such thing as personalized search. So if somebody's logged into Gmail and searching Google, Google's looking at all the data about them, all the people they're connected to, all the people that they've ever interacted with, and it's going to serve them search results based on those connections and interactions and based on what Google knows about them. So if you have a church in Santa Clarita and you have a Google local presence and, you know, let's say somebody on Google Plus has circled your page, your Google Plus posts count towards your page or your local presence showing up in search results for people. So it just helps you get in there better and be discovered by those who are potentially looking for you. Specifically for churches, I think it's vital. You know, on top of the features like I mentioned, the communication factor for us is so much easier. Like, you don't have to download some complicated system. I mean, you just launch Google Hangouts and you have a video chat with up to 10 people. You can have ministry meetings. You can record things straight to YouTube without having to go through the upload process. And, you know, Google Hangouts on air automatically upload. I keep telling one of my friends has he started a church in Burbank, you know, the heart of the film industry. And it's a small church. It's only a little over a year old. And I said, man, Google Hangouts on air are the best thing for you. All you have to do is sit down, record your sermon, or set a laptop in front of, you know, you speaking in front of people, hit the broadcast button. You're immediately live streaming to whoever wants to watch. And then it's automatically uploaded to YouTube. You don't have to do a single thing. So, I mean, to me, it's about, the tools, but also the benefit. And it's unfortunate that I have to dispel all these.
I know. No, this has been good. This is a good fact check. I think it's obviously, you know, with online rumors come and go, and I was very much aware of that. And, you know, it is funny. I do talk to a lot, both with churches and with clients, that, you know, you definitely need to have a presence on there. And I definitely agree that no matter what, I don't think Google Plus is going anywhere. There's definitely a presence for it. And it is funny though, because like Google Hangouts are so fun and they're a staple. They're not, you know what I mean? And so I'm really interested. Thank you for sharing your input. I want to let all of our listeners to visit Dustin's website. Again, Dustin's been featured on Social Media Examiner, on ProBlogger a ton. His Google Plus blog post has been shared over 6,000 times. I mean, he is an expert in this field. So make sure, and we're going to include links in our show notes and everything. So thank you, Dustin, so much for taking the time to talk to non-experts on Google Plus like Niels and I, and to listen and fact check. And so I feel like I've been fact checked. I'm still going to be watching, and I will personally tweet you every time I see a rumor page up.
Please do. So, odds are there are several other people doing the same thing. In case. I think there's a certain number of journalists now that have me like blacklisted, like they don't read any of their stuff because I've outed so many of them.
Yeah. I love it. So visit Dustin on dustn.tv to learn more about who he is and follow him if you're not already. Thank you for listening to this episode of Social Media Podcast. Engage with us by using the hashtag SMC Podcast and learn more about us by going to socialmedia.church. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.